Well, they asked right away if I needed to be introduced, and I said no. My name is Mark Ralph. Last name's Ralph. First name's Mark. Please do not tell me that I have two first names. I have known it for a long time. My wife Ruth is here. We've been married 47 years. She had to put up with me that long. A couple years ago, and I retired. But as a pastor, you never retire. I'm working on staff at church down in Wilshire, Ohio, Praise Point United Brethren Church. I want to make a few things understandable here. I look down, and there is a Michigan State coaster. And I need you to know something. I am a Michigan State fan. Oh. And they won last night. They beat Maryland. They schooled them. And now we need Maryland to lose one more time so we at least get a share of the Big Ten. So, got that out of the way. I've been here at Shoreline. I was here last October, and I guess I didn't do so bad, so you invited me to come back. So, that's good. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I have been studying 1 John. I've been studying it, taking it apart, putting it back together, trying to get more of an idea of what the Apostle John was trying to get across to his readers, to the people who he was writing to. Now, as I read chapter 3 of 1 John, I have a confession to make. I have probably put together a whole series of sermons on just 1 John chapter 3. So, Bill will not be coming back for a while. we could do something else, but no. There's just so much here, and I'm going to just share part of that with you. 1 John chapter 3, just starting with the first verse. He says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." So we are. "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children. Now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, do not let anyone deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seeds abide in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the devil, of the evil one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whenever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commands abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Would you pray with me? Father, in these next few moments, open your word to us. May your word come powerfully, not because of the messenger, but because of the message and because of who you are. Holy Spirit, fill this place with your very presence. In Jesus' name, amen. As I have read through chapter 3, I hope you have got a sense of what John was saying. All of this has to do with having confidence in your faith. These people had lost confidence in who they were, and John was writing to them to give them that confidence, to know that they are in Jesus Christ. Not just maybe, but to know. In 1981, I lived in a little town called Herndon, Pennsylvania. You probably never heard of Herndon. Herndon was a town of 425 people. There were two churches in town, and everybody knew everything that we did at our house. In the two churches, one church was a very evangelical church, which I was the pastor of. The other church was a very liberal church. But one day, I was sitting in my home. A knock came at the door. I looked to the door, and I saw this guy in a tank top, short shorts, hairiest legs I ever saw in my life. He had flip-flops on. He had long hair. And he looks at me and he says, "Are you the pastor of the church here in town?" I said, "Yes." And then he used some expletives and some words I hadn't used or heard in a long time. And he says, "I'm Pastor Bill. Good to meet you." I developed a friendship with Pastor Bill, and one day I was in the church where I was pastoring, and Bill and I were sitting in a pew. And we were talking back and forth, and we were talking theology. And I looked at him and I said, "Bill, can I tell you something? I know that someday I'm going to live with Jesus forever and I'm going to have eternal life." He looked at me and he said this. He said, "You don't know it. You confess it." Sat back in the pew. I thought for a moment and I said, "You're wrong. I know it. I know it. And Bill looked at me and I saw a tear in his eye, and he said to me, he said, I wish I could know it. I tried to share with him at that time. 2 weeks later, Bill got sent to another church down in the southern part of Pennsylvania. It was a church of 600 people. And he was going to go be the pastor of a church when he didn't even know who Jesus was. Over the years, I've talked to people, and I'll ask them the question, because I have a goal in my life, and the goal in my life is to go to heaven. And part of that goal is to take as many people with me as I can. And so I've asked the question over and over again, if you were to die tonight, do you know that you have everlasting life? You want to hear one answer that I hear a lot? I hope so. I hope so. Can I tell you this morning this? That knowing that you are going to live with him forever should never be a hope so. It should be a no so. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. If you've never underlined that, you ought to underline that one. Because it says, these things are written that you know you have everlasting life. It was written. Do you know? Can you sit here and say, you know, Pastor Mark, I know. I know. Do you have a confidence in this truth? Do you have a confidence in your salvation? Because that's very important. And that's what John was dealing with these people. He says, if these things are evident in your life, then you can know it. Now, as I read it through, I thought, wow, there's a bunch of things in there. But I'm just going to share with you three. could somebody give me some water?
You're on it?
Okay, good. Because I don't think I'm going to go much further until I have some water. Good. But I want to share with you three ways I can know that I'm walking in the truth. And in your bulletin, you will find a blank sheet. That's where you can take notes. And if you take notes, that will really impress me. Now, before I give that, thank you so much. Jeanette, right?
Yes.
Thank you. I want you to look at the person next to you and just look at them and just say, I'm going to learn something today. Just go ahead. Okay, did you do it? Now look back at them and say to them, I certainly hope so. Three ways I can know I am walking in the truth. I can know and have confidence in my salvation. Number one, write it down. And I was looking at growing extraordinary people who love God. That's the number one thing. Love God and love others. Love God and love others. I was looking at verse 24 of chapter 3. He said, whoever keeps his commandments abides in him. That word abide, have you ever heard that before? It's also found in John chapter 15, about the vine and the branches. Whoever abides in me, my word abides in them. Abiding, that word abides, means tabernacled. It means this is where I live. So, the Bible says that we are abiding in him if we keep his commandments. Now, are you abiding? Are you abiding? I can have confidence of my love for God because I am abiding in him. Let's just look, go over to John chapter 15 real quick. And I want you to know something. In my Bible, it's in red. Does everybody know why it's in red? Jesus said it. When Jesus says something, I want to listen. Listen to what it says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the wine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, tabernacle, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it what? Abides in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing. Abide. So, Pastor Mark, let's talk about this love of God thing. I believe that when I love God, that I have a relationship with his word. Now, I did not say that I have a Bible in every room of my house, which I probably do. Or I have a Bible on my coffee table that if I opened up would crack. That there is a relationship with the word of God. I love the word of God because I love God. And I love his word. And a relationship with his word. He said, this is a message you have heard from the beginning. It is a message that has been written. God wrote this book as a love letter to you and I. What's your relationship to it? What is your relationship to it? People who abide in Christ have a confidence and a hunger for this book. Can I tell you something? This book changed my life. This book changed my life. Now, as I probably told you before, I'm a preacher's kid. And all those stories you've ever heard about preacher's kids, they're all true. But I've been changed. I've been changed because of his love, and he's changed me because of my hunger and looking into the word of God. Do you? Is this book important to you? Let me give you another one. I believe not only that I can know my love for God is real and a confidence is because of the word, but also because of a zeal that I have in my life. A zeal for the things of God. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. I gotta find it. I brought a Bible that is getting small and I'm getting old. Okay, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. There is a zeal to do things right and to live lives of holiness. Amen? It is important. My actions and my attitudes will be seen by others in me. You say, well, Pastor Mark, the Bible says we shouldn't judge each other. That's true, but I can be a fruit inspector. And if there's fruit that comes from that person, we can know. And if I see the fruit coming from myself, then I know that I walk in righteousness and zeal. People who love God have a zeal to get to know Him. I know this is going to be hard to believe, but I'm 68 years old. And you're all going, wow. He looks like he'd know. But in my 68 years, I have come to the conclusion of this, that I want to know Him more today than I did yesterday. How about you? I want to know Him more, and there needs to be a zeal. I love my wife. Ruth and I have been, as I told you, we've been married 47 years. But I still remember when I was going to Huntington College at the time. She was going to Michigan State University, go Spartans. And she would write to me. And you know what I would do? I would read her letters over and over again. I'd write to her and she'd read my letter. That's why we got to know each other even more. God is writing to us. And you want to fall in love with God more? Read what He says. Let me give you one other thing about loving God and loving others. I need to tell you something. Other people are important. People that are sitting around you right now, they are important. They're important. I look at the culture that I live in today, and there's a very unbiblical culture that we're living in. We were praying earlier, and we were praying for our country. Keep praying for your country. Because the society we live in has nothing to do with other people. It has to do with looking at ourselves. And I hear this a lot, too, from people. You know, it's just Jesus and me. I don't need anybody else. It's just Jesus and me. Do you know how unbiblical that is? I need you. You need me. That's why we come to Shoreline. We need each other. We need to be in a relationship with each other. You ever read all the one another's in Scripture? It's over and over. Love one another. Do all this for each other. We are made to love God on a vertical relationship, right? But we're also made to allow His love to go through us vertically to the people that are around us. How you doing? You say, well, Pastor Mark, there's people in my life that are kind of hard to love. Oh, don't I know it? They're hard to love. Some of them are sitting right next to you. No, not really. They're hard to love. But I have a responsibility before God to love other people, and that's why we come together as a church. You know, Pastor Mark, I just go out in the woods, and that's where I have my church. I think it's nice going in the woods, but we need each other. William Booth, do you recognize that name? William Booth was he began the Salvation Army. William Booth was a great man of God. He always thought about working with others and helping others. William Booth was in California and he was about ready to die. He was breathing his last breath, and while he was dying, the Salvation Army in California had a big convention. And they went to General Booth's bedside and they said to him, General Booth, what would you have us say to all the thousands of Salvation Army people that are coming from all over the world? William Booth said one thing, one word, and that word was others. it's not about you. It's about him and my relationship with him and you. Well, I looked at 1 John and I see something else here. Go down to verse 17. He says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? We see a need and we meet it. Now I have a confession to make. I went to high school in Chicago, Illinois. I'm also a big Cub fan too, so. I went to high school in Chicago, Illinois. My dad was pastoring a church in Chicago. We were right on the main thoroughfare. We lived in the parsonage right next to the church. And I can't tell you how many people stopped at our house and they wanted help. And I watched my father help each one of them. I remember one occasion that this guy came to the house and Dad sat down with him and he said he just needed money for food. Dad led him to the Lord. But I didn't trust the guy. So I followed him. And I followed him and he took that money that my dad gave him and went and bought some more booze. I came back and I told Dad, I said, Dad, he didn't even listen to what you said. And you know, as I get older, and my father's 97 now, but as I get older, he gets smarter. And he looked at me and he said, I don't think, Mark, God is ever going to ask me if they didn't need it. When people have a need, you know, Rick Warren wrote this book called Purpose Driven. I'm not sure what you know about Rick Warren, but that book called The Purpose-Driven Life, the first words he used, you know what he says? It's not about you. It's about others. It's about those that are in need. Yet we live in a culture, don't we? That's all about me. I'm going to get free stuff. I'm not going to start with it. If you want to know what I think, I'll tell you later. But we start to think it's about me. John says it's about your relationship with others. You want to know that you're going to have eternal life? John says that you're going to see it in how you treat other people. 1 John 3:10 says, by this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. It's evident. I can just look at a life and just say, it's all about me. I pastored for 43 years, so I've been around the block. And the one thing that I heard from people over the years is they'd come to me and they would say, you know, we're going to leave your church, Pastor Mark. And I'd say, why? Said, because we're not getting fed. Do you know what? That when my little sister, and she's now 60-something years old, but when she was a baby, she came home and my mom had to feed her. She doesn't get fed anymore. There needs to come a time in our lives where we feed ourselves. You understand that? It's very important to understand. And I believe you need to go to a church that teaches the Word of God and things like that. But we need to feed ourselves. But it's about me. It's about me. Loving our fellow believers. That tells us whether we are truly born again. Do I have a desire to reach out to my fellow believers, to those around me? Or is it about me? John says it's about others. Folks, there's people around you who need your time. There's folks around you who need your talent. And there's folks around you who need your treasure. Those who desire that can walk in confidence. When that desire is there, meet others' needs, I know that I'm walking with the King. Let me give you one more. Look at verses 21 and 22. He says, "Beloved, if our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence from God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." You see, what is that? That He says, all you need to do is ask in the name of His Son, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. I want a Ferrari. I don't think it's talking about a Ferrari. I don't think it's talking about a Ferrari at all. I think it's just talking about my prayer life. Let me ask you a question. When you pray, does God answer your prayers? Maybe not the time that you think He ought to. I have come to this conclusion. God is wanting to answer your prayers more than you want to ask Him. He's a God who is ready to meet your needs, but you need to ask. Now, I need to tell you something. I need to make a little caveat here. Because there are people that say, well, I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and nothing ever happens. You know what Psalm 66:18 says? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you are dealing with sin and you're going to God and you're still dealing with sin, He's not listening. He'll listen to your prayer of repentance. You know, I am praying when I'm a person of His Word that I love God and I love people and I want to help people and I see that in my life. Here's what comes to me. That I am praying according to His will and what pleases Him. I want to please God. I'm involved in a small group in Rockford, Ohio. Does anybody know where Rockford, Ohio is? Okay. Well, I go to a small group there, and God placed something on my heart. And so I said to this group that there were these shut-ins around us that needed just to get a visit and a food for the day, and I said, you know, we could really do something to reach out to them. So I called somebody else in the small group, and they said to me, you know, Pastor Mark, God's been telling the same thing to me. We went to the small group, and there was another person that said, you know, all week God's been dealing with me to do something like this. You know what? I think I got the message. God wants to answer our prayers. God is in the business. Excuse me. God is in the business of answering prayer. Maybe not immediately, but He does answer prayer. Do you know Him? And if I would say to you, you know, we came on Praise Point on the March 1st, isn't it? March 1st, great.
It's not Praise Point.
Oh, yeah, it's not Praise Point. I'm in a different church, right? You don't need to bother me. She does that all the time. I was right in the middle of one sermon once, and I was preaching away, and I was preaching on Daniel. And if you read Daniel, you know that the king wanted him to bow down to every time they heard the music. In the King James, I was reading from the King James from the pulpit. I studied out of a different translation. When I read the King James, it said, when you hear all manner of music, you are to bow down. Music in the King James Version is spelled M-U-S-I-C-K. So as I'm reading it, I says, when you hear all this music. And I looked down, and my sister was there, and my wife, and they were rolling in the aisles. And then I kept it, and it says it several times, and I said, and then when you hear the music, and then, you know, they started laughing even more, and I go, what's so funny? Mark, it's not music, it's music. First mistake I ever made in my life. But you walk in confidence in the truth. I know your pastor very well. Matter of fact, I knew him when he was in high school. I was the associate pastor at Flint United Brethren Church, Ridgefield Road, where he was from. The one thing I know about Pastor Bill is it's discipleship, 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 discipleship. He wants you to grow up in the things of the Lord. Walk in confidence. Walk in confidence of this word. What a privilege it is for me to even be here this morning and to just share with you his word. I love his word. Do you? I love his word. It changed my life. But John chapter 3 says, you need to love God. You need to love other people. You need to reach out to those who need you. And then you walk in confidence as you pray and you see answers to prayer. That's the word of God to us. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, love you, and I thank you for this time that you have given us to just spend some time looking at your word. I thank you for these dear people, and Lord, I even know that some of them are at different places in their walk with you. Maybe even some here that have never begun that walk with you. They're still fighting you. Some who have walked with you for a long time. God, I pray for Shoreline Church. I pray in the name of Jesus that your power be seen in them. I pray over Pastor Bill even right now as he is away with Sharp. And I ask your blessing upon him, but I also pray that your spirit would rest well upon him as he leads this congregation to know you. Thank you for the worship, the singing so far, and the time of communion together. May you just draw us, and may you draw Shoreline more and more into a relationship with you and a relationship with one another.